Glad that you're tuning in tonight. We have a very timely, I believe, teaching as we continue on with our Divergent series. We'll be talking about peacemakers. So as we prepare to do that, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. I do want us to continue praying, obviously, for our nation in particular, this time of unrest. Just pray for hearts to be opened and changed and action to be taken. We also want to continue praying for the ministry of Bethel during these, again, continued to be uncertain times. I'm so thankful that my faith is anchored in something that doesn't shift with cultural shiftings. It's anchored in eternity, and my prayer is that we would do the same thing, anchor our faith in that one who is eternal, and that we would let our light shine in a very dark world. So let's just pray together. Father, we love you tonight, and we're so thankful to be able to come together via this technology that we have today, and to come into homes and offices and automobiles and wherever someone's tuning in. Lord, I thank you for that opportunity. God, I just pray that right now our nation is in trouble. We're hurting. Lord, we recognize that we need you. Lord, we can't deal with issues of the heart. It can't be legislated. It can only be changed by the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just pray that you would help us, believers, of no matter what our ethnicity is, Lord, that you would help us to shine our light into these dark times, and that, God, that you would bring civility, and that you would bring comfort, and that you would bring change, Lord. And I just pray that you would give us that grace. And I just ask, Father, also for the needs of this body, Lord. There are those that continue to struggle. Lord, those that need a healing touch, those that have lost loved ones, that, Lord, we just pray that you would uphold with your powerful right hand, Father, that you administer comfort and healing to them. And, Father, I pray that you'll continue to, Lord, work through this body. Lord, again, I have said all along that you're not static and that you continue to operate. The activity of the Holy Spirit is still alive and well, and I pray that, Lord, you would help us to engage in what you're doing and accomplish what you want us to accomplish during this season. I ask you to be with us in our time of study. Open our hearts and let us hear and receive what the Spirit says tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 5 again as we get right into our study. While you're turning there, let me just give you a couple of announcements. Please remember, tomorrow is, and I mentioned it on Sunday, but it is confirmed, tomorrow we will have another truckload of produce and dairy that will be in at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to unload and prepare for distribution. So we're going to start distributing these boxes about 10:30. So if you're volunteering, please be here about 9:30, 9:45. We're going to get ready and get everything set up to welcome our community in once again. We're excited to be able to do this. Again, we're looking at 1,000 boxes, right at 20,000 pounds of product. Again, fresh produce and dairy. They'll have some, I believe the dairy box would have some cheese, some butter, some yogurt, I believe a gallon of 2% milk. So we're excited at the opportunity to be able to serve our fellow man. This is important because this is what the church is here for. We're here to be a tangible representation of Jesus Christ, and this is the way that we do that. Also, don't forget services on Sunday. I hope that you received our email. I met with the board this past Sunday, just trying to strategize and plan as to, you know, strategically what we are going to be doing. Again, very fluid, continues to be very fluid situation. We want to adhere to the recommendations, the guidelines as best as possible. We will offer two services, 9 o'clock and 10:45. What we have done is we have removed the age restriction. You're welcome to come to whichever one fits with your schedule. We want to be, you know, again, have opportunities to come together. Also, we have children's activities that will be starting Sunday. Nursery will be available in the 9 o'clock service and the 10:45, and then BT Kids and preschool will be meeting at 10:45. So join us. Bring somebody with you. You know, we can still bring friends or encourage them to come. We'll practice. The rows will be marked off. We encourage social distancing. Again, what you do is on your own. We do disinfect between services, so we're doing everything that we can to mitigate any spread of the COVID-19, and we're trusting in the one who is eternal. Amen? Let's get right into our teaching tonight. Again, we're on this series, Divergent, And tonight's lesson is entitled Heavenly Peace Corps. Heavenly Peace Corps. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, just one passage of Scripture. And it simply says this: Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's read that again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. May the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight. Now, again, as we continue on with this series, Divergent, we're going to me, this is a puzzling beatitude. And I say puzzling because Jesus says that, remember, when we talked about at the very beginning, blessed, you know, when we talked about the beatitudes, blessed are whatever, that what that literally means is the applause of heaven. So what Jesus is saying here is that heaven applauds the peacemaker. Heaven approves of the peacemaker, and yet in the day in which you and I live, our day-to-day lives, we really don't find too many peacemakers. You know, and the thing is, it's not easy being a peacemaker, nor is it safe. You know, you can think back in history how many times that you've had people that have tried to usher in eras of peace. And in fact, in 1993, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin signed a peace treaty with Yasser Arafat of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and it wasn't long after that that he was assassinated by an Orthodox Jew because he thought that by shooting Mr. Rabin in the back that he was doing God's work. So, again, being a peacemaker is tough and not very safe. We live in an unsettled world. You know, the reality is, and again, turn on the nightly news over the last week and you recognize that we live in an unsettled world. Before the pandemic, you think about it, there were wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nation. You know, peace was not something that was on the horizon. I know that there were a lot of people talking about it, but it was not something that we saw coming on the horizon. Now, since the pandemic, we still have wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against other nations. We have now today, we have political partisanship. Actually, this has been going on a long time, but we have political partisanship turning brother against brother. And again, last week with the murder of George Floyd, and the rioting that ensued after that, and the protests, the unrest. You know, unrest is the order of the day across the globe. People are protesting one thing after another, and mostly justified because we're seeing injustice. We're seeing inequality in our world that demands something be done, and we're seeing elected officials trample on the civil rights of citizens. So, again, we live in this time of unrest and uneasiness. You know, I look back and with the dawn of the new millennium 20 years ago, I can't even hardly believe many of us remember the Y2K thing. But if you think back to the new millennium when it arrived 20 years ago, our world at that time was just coming out of the bloodiest, I want you to hear this, the bloodiest century in world history. The bloodiest century in world history. More people died because of warfare than any other century since the dawn of the human race. And in 20 years of being in the new millennium, it seems like this new century and millennium are at a record pace to outdo what we just got out of. You know, President Eisenhower once said it like this: we become a race of intellectual giants and moral pygmies. And I think that sums up where we are in our culture today. We have become, think about it, a race of intellectual giants and moral pygmies. Despite our great technological advances today, we continue to devise new and more efficient ways of killing our fellow man. Will there ever be world peace? You know, that's a good question, because when Jesus was born, you remember when Jesus was born, the angel said in Luke chapter 2, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Jesus himself in John 14 told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, described Christ. He himself is our peace. But that's only one side of the biblical story, because in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there is a time for war and a time for peace. And the reality is there is no lasting peace in the world because there is a war raging in the hearts of mankind. I want you to think about that. There is no lasting peace in this world because there is a war that rages in the heart of man. There is no national peace because there is no personal peace. Again, I've talked about this a number of times. You have to understand that the first peace that we experience is that peace with God, And then we have the peace of God. So I can't be at peace with my fellow man until I first become at peace with God. That is the order. I work on this vertical, and then I can get the horizontal right. If this is not right, this is not going to be right. So my question is, why did you lock your door last night? You know, in a perfect world, no one would ever have to lock their door or lock anything. You know, it is into this world of incivility, this world of unrest, this world of protest and rioting and demonstrations, it is into this world that Jesus has called us to diverge. Remember, the word diverge means to part from the normal path, to be set apart as different. You know, he's called us to diverge in this world and live as peacemakers. Again, as bad as things might be right now, this is the only world we have, and if we're going to be true to our Lord, we have to be peacemakers. We as believers need to seek to be peacemakers. So what does that mean? Well, number one, first of all, let's understand peace. So let's look at understanding peace. What does he mean when we talk about peace? Well, to many people, the word peace literally means just the absence of war or the cessation of conflict. But the reality is peace in the Bible is never, it's never confused or misconstrued with pacifism or this peace at any price mentality. Nor is it a drug, referring to a drug-induced tranquility that comes from some artificial means such as drugs or alcohol. See, these things give an appearance of tranquility. These things might give an appearance of peace, but we have to understand it's chemical. It's not spiritual, it's chemical, and it's not going to last. That's not peace. That's not what the Bible is referring to. You see, peace in the Bible is a broad term that's related to health, prosperity, harmony, and wholeness. So think about it. When someone uses the word, we all know the Hebrew word shalom. When someone uses the word shalom, they're not wishing someone the absence of war. That's not what they're wishing them. They are wishing them the full presence of peace, prosperity, and all the blessings of God. That's what they mean when they say shalom. Is they're wishing and blessing them with the wholeness that comes from knowing the Lord. In the famous Aaronic benediction in Numbers chapter 6, which I use quite often, it gives this idea. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance or turn his face toward you and give you peace." You know, biblical peace is always based on justice and righteousness. So where justice prevails and righteousness rules, there you will find peace. There you will have peace. But without those two, without justice and righteousness, peace is not possible. It's not possible. Now, when you start breaking down this beatitude, peacemakers, the word "make" in the term peacemaker is the Greek word. Or the Greek word is a very strong word. It means to do or to make. What does it mean? It means peace has to be made. Peace never happens by accident. It never happens by chance. I watched a little bit of the news. I don't do much of the news anymore these days, but I was watching the news, and I saw the protesters in downtown Fort Worth, and I watched those officers that had... were standing there blocking as the curfew time had come, and the crowd was chanting and talking to them about take a knee, and I watched these officers. They had in that moment they had a choice, and I watched them take a knee, and that crowd erupted into to spontaneous joy because they felt like someone in authority had sided with them or let their voice be known. You see, that's really what I'm talking about. Had those officers not taken a knee, it could have escalated into a violent situation, but they chose to make peace by taking a knee. It wasn't a show of weakness by any means. It was a show of incredible strength and respect for their fellow man. Listen, someone, again, the word "make" means to do or to make, and someone has to drag the combatants to the table and give them a reason to put down their arms. This protest, again, I know the looters and rioters turned into something else, and there's opportunists in everything, but the original reason that there were protests is an injustice was done. And it's just you know, it's a systemic in our country, and something needs to be done. And that was the original reason. And so, again, there has to be a reason to bring, again, we're talking about making peace. You have to do something. It's not just going to happen just because we say we're going to put curfew on you and you're going to have to go home at 7 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning. There has to be more done. You know, Jesus never said, blessed are the peace wishers. Or didn't say, blessed are the peace hopers or the peace dreamers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Meaning there has to be something done to ensure peace. Now, the word called. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The word called means to be officially designated as holding a particular office or rank. Now, think about that for a minute. It's like when if you're named a CEO of a company, you are called to that position, or you choose a captain or designate a spokesperson. So Jesus says that those who are peacemakers will be known and recognized for what they really are, sons of God, sons and daughters of God. The phrase sons of God, again, I'm just kind of breaking it down for you. The phrase sons of God refers to a filial relationship in which the son is identified as having the same character traits as his father. You know, it's like when you and I, we've all heard the expression, well, he's his father's son. Well, it's not talking biology, because we know by biology that if he's the father, then that is his son, biologically speaking. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about character. You know, Jesus is saying that as his followers, as we become known as peacemakers, they will recognize that we are sons and daughters of God who share his character. What is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is someone who is actively working to reconcile men to God and to one another. That's a peacemaker. He or she is a minister of reconciliation, according to 2 Corinthians 5, who's been given the message of reconciliation. That is a peacemaker. So this challenge really touches today in so many areas. I mean, you think about what's pressing right now in our country. We're talking about racial reconciliation. Again, I understand the reason for the initial protest, and I fully support it. Police brutality cannot be accepted in any situation, and we need to stand up to say something and have something done. Things need to change. We need to talk about racial reconciliation. In America, again, we tend to think only in terms of black and white, but if you've traveled around the world, it's not just a problem here in the United States. There's tension everywhere. There's tension everywhere. I was on a mission trip many years ago in a particular country, and my interpreter that was with me was from a country that the country I was going to didn't like. And when they found out, when we were going through customs there in the airport to get through, when they found out he was from that particular country that they didn't like, they did not want to let him in. And in fact, the missionary went ahead and took me and my team to a hotel while they worked it out. And it took them about 4 hours to finally get this guy cleared through customs, all because he was from a country, now same ethnicity, but he was from a country that they didn't like. So I told him, I said, look, man, we're going to get you in the country, but how you get out, that's going to be your business. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, it's everywhere. You think about the Middle East. You think about the unrest that's there in the Middle East. You think about the Hindus and Muslims in places like India and Pakistan, that there's tremendous stress and pressure and fighting all the time just because they don't like them. But you know what? That's not all of the unrest that we have. Because you know what? We need marital and family reconciliation. You think about how many families today, divorced people that continue to struggle in those relationships, wounded people that are scarred by the pain of broken marriage. Think about children that are growing up in those broken homes where they see the scars and the wounds and they rebel and then they run away because they can't stand the fighting or the anger or the rejection, or the pressure, or the abuse. There needs to be some reconciliation. Think about the call for reconciliation in the workplace between the laborer and the management, or the owners and the workers, or the bosses and the employees. What about the divisions inside the Christian community? You know, when I was in the military, I pastored what they called in the military, part of one of the extracurricular duties that I did was I pastored a denominational service. Do you know that under the Protestant, the term Protestant denominations, they have whole books designated to list them all? I mean, there are just so many. And then you add to that the call for relational and generational reconciliation. Only then do we move to the political arena, and there's needs there, and then international. And I mean, it's just incredible. Reconciliation is something that is desperately needed in 2020. But the greatest need is this, and we cannot lose sight of it. The greatest need is this, to reconcile men and women to God. That is the greatest need of present day America and our world. People need Jesus. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the reason Jesus came to earth, and it's the reason why the church exists together. Matthew 28 gives us our mandate and our marching orders. Go into all the world. Doesn't say go to the places that you like. Remember our teaching on Jonah going to Nineveh. He didn't like the Ninevites, and so he went the other way. And yet God said, go into all the world, even the places that you don't like, ministering to people that you don't care for, and preach the gospel. It's so important. Other organizations exist here on earth to solve human problems. The church exists to solve the greatest problem, and that is the barrier that exists between God and man. And only the gospel can bridge that gap. Do we understand that? There are other organizations on this planet that are that exist to help human need. The church is the only one that exists to help the greatest need, and that is this relationship right here. So my question tonight is this. Are we bringing people together or pulling them apart? We have to face the reality. Here's the challenge of this beatitude. Peacemaking is not an easy business, okay? It's costly. It's time-consuming. It's painful. It's emotionally exhausting. You know, those who do it will often be misunderstood. Sometimes it's not going to work at all. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he exhorted them to live at peace with everyone. Again, that's our call, to live at peace with everyone. But then he added this all-important phrase, if it is possible. If it is possible, be at peace with all men. But here's the reality. Sometimes it isn't possible. I mean, there are cantankerous people who just go through life enjoying picking fights with everyone they meet. You can't always live at peace with people like that. Well, so what do you do in a situation like that where it is impossible to live at peace with someone else? Well, just make sure that no one can lay the blame at your feet. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Our job as a believer is to step outside of maybe cultural norms and to live by a different standard, to diverge from the normal path and be at peace with others. I like what Ben Franklin said in 1781. He wrote to John Adams. He said, blessed are the peacemakers is, I suppose, for another world. Because in this world, they're frequently cursed. And unfortunately, that's true. So here's the third thing. Let's talk about the reward. The reward. They will be called the sons of God. Think about it. They will be called the sons of God. Remember, this is a bestowed title. It indicates a special family relationship. You will be recognized. If you are a peacemaker, you will be recognized as a son or daughter of the living God. What a title to hold. My dad, many of you know, I talk about my dad often. My dad was very active in church. In fact, he's the reason that I am where I am today. My dad was very active in church, and he was a firefighter for 35 years in Mobile County. He had this roofing business and had served many, many people for many years. And there were times that I could walk into the fire station or maybe see someone in the store, and they would look at me and say, you're Ed's son. Or they called him either Ed or they called him Leslie. Or they would say, you're Leslie's boy. Even though I was taller than my dad, I'm different. Even though I'm different from my dad, I carried myself much like my dad. I am my father's son, and it is a great honor when someone says, you know what, you remind me of your dad, or you remind me of Ed. See, that's the idea here. When you and I are peacemakers, others will know that we are sons and daughters of God. that we have his character and we carry ourselves like him. Often, you know what, I understand, we stumble. But when we set out to live a divergent life, especially when it comes to making peace, we are easily identified with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that a great thing to be recognized for? See, that's what the promise is of this beatitude. You will be called, you will be named, you will be recognized, you will be designated as a true son of God. When we make peace, we become like the God of peace. Peacemakers bear that family resemblance that even the people of this world can see and identify. And the need today in 2020 is we desperately need more peacemakers in our communities. Okay? Remember, the word peacemaker talks about making peace, not peace wishers, peace hopers, peace dreamers. We're talking about peacemakers. There's so much war and misunderstanding and bitterness and double crossing and anger and slander and lying, hatred and bloodshed. Even Christians, you know, we get caught up in that stuff. You don't believe me? Go look at social media. We get caught up in that stuff, and we have to be so careful. On every hand, wherever we turn, there are ruined marriages, there are broken friendships, there are shattered relationships, broken promises, and so much heartache in our world today. Think of what you see every day. Estranged children, husbands, wives in divorce court, neighbors who won't speak to each other, commuters, you know, that get mad, you know, road rage, people that get mad on the freeway, bosses who don't trust their workers, and workers who cheat their bosses. I mean, my goodness, so much has gone wrong in this world. Ethnic groups at war, nations in arms, treaties that are broken before the ink is ever dried, people who shoot first and ask questions later, so many armies, so many bombs, so much killing and murder. See, that's the answer to the question. That's why we fear to walk the streets at night alone. You know, we curse our neighbor, we lock our door, we close the curtain, we load our guns, and then we wonder why we are fearful and uptight, because we're not at peace. And God's called us to be peacemakers. Not much peace in our world today. See, everything breaks apart, beginning on the inside, where our hearts are sadly divided. Jesus said we can't serve two masters. See, it's into this world that you and I have been called to be peacemakers. What have we been called to do? To make peace, to reconcile, to intervene, to unite, to listen, to umpire, to resolve, to mediate, to do what we can to end the violence, to stop the bloodshed, to bind up the wounds and bring God's shalom, God's peace, his peace to them. We have to begin our most intimate, we have to begin in our own hearts. We have to begin where we're not at peace. And that first step is to be at peace with him. See, we have to make peace with him before we can experience his peace living in us. See, one of the problems that we have today tends to be the level of motivation. We know that peace is hard to make, and it's even harder to keep. It's usually easier to walk away from a problem than it is to stand up and be a voice of reason. Why get involved in someone else's difficulty is what we always think about. Or we try and we're rebuffed. Maybe we try to step up and speak, and somebody questions our motives, or somebody criticizes us or attacks us for our efforts. So what do? In despair, we throw our hands up and we just walk away. Sometimes we don't even get involved because we're afraid that if we do, somebody's going to question our motives or worse. But you know what? Everyone can do something. You know what? You have a telephone? Make a phone call. Make a phone call. Write a letter. You know how to cook? Make a meal. If you don't know how to cook, order takeout. Do something. You know, you have money? Give some money. You got two hands? Go work for somebody. Go serve somebody. Go see a friend in pain. Listen to the cries of the wounded. Lift them up to see the world as God sees them. Pray for them. Preach the gospel of peace to them. Live the gospel of peace in front of them. Maybe you've heard this poem. I'm only one man, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. Isn't that good? Only God knows how much he can accomplish through us. You know, you've heard me say it often as I've looked out across the congregation, and I said, you know, when I look out, this is what I see. I see potential. And that's what I'm looking around like you're here tonight, but but that's what I see. I see potential. All he asks is that we surrender our lives, that little contribution that we can make to him, and then watch what he can do with our surrender. You know, Jesus, you know, here's a little tidbit, and we understand this. Jesus was the greatest peacemaker of all time, and yet they crucified him. That's what I'm saying. It's not an easy thing to be a peacemaker. He was called the Prince of Peace, and yet he hung on a Roman cross. His message was never about inciting riots. Never did. It wasn't about insurrection. He never spoke like that. His was a message of love, forgiveness, of reconciliation, of salvation, redemption. He preached the gospel of peace, and yet he died in an act of cruel violence. Peacemaking is expensive. It costs God his only son. But here tonight, I want you to hear me. Our Lord is on a recruiting mission. He's looking for a few good men and women to join his heavenly peace corps. He's looking for a few good men and women who will spread God's peace over this world. Again, there's so much war and strife and so much pain in the world. What that literally means is there's a lot of work for us to do. You don't have to worry about running out of an assignment because there's so much work to be done before the Lord comes back. Every tiny step receives God's blessing. As I wrap this up tonight, several hundred years ago, there was an incredible man that was born. Although he was the son of an Italian cloth merchant and destined to be a knight, he forsook that path of wealth and fame instead he chose to wear a ragged cloak tied with a rope borrowed from a scarecrow. He spent his days preaching and giving to others. He chose to live his life in utter poverty. History records that he was noble, kind, humble. He was Christ-like, a Christ-like man. In fact, one of the greatest Christians that has ever lived. You and I today know him as St. Francis of Assisi. Centuries later, after his death, someone translated one of his prayers into English, and it was a letter sent. It was later set to music, and here's what it says. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Listen, I close tonight. That is the call to the church today. Listen, I've struggled in trying to articulate just how I feel about the unrest in our nation. I am a patriot, but I am a child of God. I'm a believer. I hate to see the violence. It bothers me in the deep recesses of who I am. The questions of always, what can we do? How can we help? Listen, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for you should be called the sons of God. I think if we're going to speak, let us speak words of edification. Let us speak words of understanding and of love. And let us do something to make effective change in our culture today. Are you a peacemaker? Are you bringing people together? Or are you pushing them apart? And particularly the greatest need right now. Listen, I understand it's not possible all the time. It's not possible. Paul said to the Romans, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace. Let us walk with dignity and honor and integrity before the Lord so that it cannot be laid at our feet if someone refuses to live at peace with us. Let us be the peacemaker and let us pray that God, the Prince of Peace, would come and prevail. Father, I love you so much. And I thank you tonight, Lord, for this timely teaching. Lord, I know it's difficult. I know that we live in again, right now, things are very chaotic. But God, I thank you that peace with you brings peace with others. And I just pray tonight, Lord, if there are those here today that are in conflict in their heart, Lord, that greatest peace is that we need, and that greatest need of reconciliation is first with you. If there's someone watching tonight that is not, that does not know you or is not walking in covenant relationship with you, I pray that they would confess their sin and that they would, Lord, just invite you into their life to be Lord and Savior of their life and change the trajectory of their lives. Lord, I pray if there are those that are watching that have ill towards another human being, Lord, that they release that. Lord, you've called us to be peacemakers. You said we would be identified as the Son of God. Sometimes that means that we have to eat crow, that we have to swallow our pride. But if we do, we are called sons of God. We are identified as having your traits and your character. What a great testimony that would be. So, Father, I pray that you would help us. We ask for healing for our land. Forgive us for not speaking up. Forgive us for not doing something when we should have. Lord, we're not, I'm just one man. But as one man, I can do something. And that one thing I should do, Lord, may, in your name, may I do it. Father, I ask a blessing on every person here. Give us a wonderful, restful night. Look forward to having a great day tomorrow as we distribute, Lord, once again, these 1,000 boxes. Lord, may they receive it in the love of Christ in which we give it. Bring us on Sunday ready to receive your word. I love and bless each one now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow and Sunday. God bless you.